Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
And this just in, a heartwarming report of a man who was paralyzed but can now walk again.
The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the paralyzed are walking.
It is unbelievable.
Have you heard about this man? We've seen countless amazing things.
There are so many miracles to report.
Breaking news, a man raised from the dead after 3 days of being in the tomb.
Can you think of a time when you really wanted to do something, but it seemed impossible? When I was a kid, I really wanted to ride a bike, but it seemed impossible to me. First, I didn't own a bike. That was a problem. Second, I didn't know how to ride a bike, so going for a bike ride felt impossible. I was at a friend's house one day, and she said we should go for bike rides, and I explained to her my situation. I don't have a bike. I don't know how to ride a bike, so that's not going to work today. And her mom actually overheard us, and she said, well, let's go teach you how to ride that bike, or ride her bike, my friend's bike. So we went over to the elementary school, and she told me, get on the bike. So I sat on the seat, both feet on the ground, and I was like, now what? She told me, pedal. Okay, let's go. So I started to pedal, but of course, I didn't balance very well at first. I'd never done it before. I started to question if this was a good idea, and I wondered if I could trust her. But she was holding onto the back and to help me balance successfully, and soon enough, I was able to ride. Every time she said to go, I tried a little again, and I tried again. A couple times I fell over, but then next thing I know, she's standing over there, and I'm the one pedaling the bike. I was so excited to go home and tell my parents. And then my parents accomplished the impossible. They somehow figured out how to get me a bike. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. And I was able to use that bike to get a job, a paper route. That's when people used to fold papers in their backyard and throw them to their neighbors' houses with both the good and the bad news. They looked a little bit like the papers behind me. That's when they would deliver the news. And I thought it was so great. It changed my life. It changed my world to be able to learn to ride a bike and to get a job. I was 10 years old, and something impossible for me became a reality. I think we have a picture of that bike. Do we have a picture? It's not a very good one. Look how dark that is. I'm not even going to tell you what year that was. It was a long time ago, but that's my mom with me in our backyard. I'm with my new bike and my papers on my paper route. That was a big deal for me. It didn't seem like it was possible, but it became my reality. What's something that you thought was impossible, but maybe became a reality for you? The education we didn't think we could get, the friendship that we really needed, the bill that needed to be paid, the relationship that was restored, the job that was out of reach, the dream that seemed extreme, the help that you needed and it came through, the healing when you were told there was no hope, the goal that seemed lofty, or an adventure that seemed too grand. What's your impossible story that became a reality? Or is there something today that currently seems impossible that you were hoping that could be a reality? Well, we're going to read a story today about something that is totally impossible, and yet it became a person's very real reality. So if you have your Bibles with you or a Bible app, we're going to start from the book of Mark, and it will also be up on the screens. And then I'm going to skip to Matthew, because Matthew gives us a few more details, but I like how Mark starts it. So would you do me a favor? Let's stand today as I read God's word. I'm reading from Mark chapter 6, the New Living Translation. I'm starting at verse 45. It says this, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind. Matthew verse 25, chapter 14. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We pray that we would hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So Mark chapter 6, verse 45 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. I always have to ask myself, immediately after what? Immediately after this. Well, this is immediately after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus people that Steve taught about last week. And the disciples were already exhausted going into that event. They were going off to pray with Jesus when they were interrupted by this huge crowd, desperate to hear from Jesus. And then at the end of this event, Jesus did what any great rabbi or pastor would do. He sent his team off on their own. They were already tired. He released them from their responsibility and sent them on ahead while he closed things down and said goodbye to every last person. I love that. He said goodbye to every last person. One of the things, first things I note from this scripture is that Jesus will send you somewhere. Jesus will send you somewhere. Life isn't about staying right where we are at. Jesus will send you somewhere. Maybe it's to feed the poor, to love children and orphans, to help the oppressed, to minister to the lost and lonely, to nurse a sick or weak person, to rest and recover. He might send you to do that for yourself, to experience something different and diverse, to take a risk, to try something new, to speak comfort and truth, to make a difference, to share his love with the masses. Jesus will send you to do something. I suppose the question is, will you go? Will you go? The disciples, they got in the boat and went where Jesus told them to go. Will you take a step of faith and get in the boat and go? Maybe this seems impossible, but choosing to follow Jesus and go where he sends, that can be your reality. And perhaps you're thinking, I have too much already on my plate. You don't know how hard things are for me right now and what I'm juggling. I don't have time for this. I'm walking through a lot and I'm dealing with a lot. I don't have time to go where Jesus is sending me. I think the better question might be, what will you miss out on if you don't? What will you miss out on if you don't go? It can be risky to take a step of faith, but I would encourage you to go. Verse 46, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Jesus, he's modeling what needed to be done to go away and pray. He sent the disciples off, and he recognized he himself needed some time in prayer to reflect and to get replenished. He needed that time with his heavenly Father, so he went up on a mountain to pray. Every good pastor, leader, teacher, parent, coach, mentor, every human being needs to get away and pray. We absolutely need it. It's essential. You heard that from Tony's video a few minutes ago, too. It is essential to our health and well-being to pause and get away and pray. Do you get away and pray sometimes? Life with Jesus is simply not the same without prayer. It's where he ministers to our soul. He refreshes our spirit. He gives us everything we need to be able to be our best to help others. If prayer seems impossible, it can be a reality in your life. Maybe that's what seems impossible today, but it can be your reality in your life. I hope you can pray throughout your day. It's such a gift when you start practicing that. But for many of us, prayer is a mystery and something that may be difficult for us to figure out. So I want to invite you to do two things if this is you. We have a prayer workshop next Sunday right after church. If you're wondering, I don't know how to pray. I don't even know what prayer is. It's a mystery to me. Come join that. Pastor Steve, myself, Tony, Lucy, we will all be there to help encourage you with prayer and give you some resources and tools. Prayer is life-changing. We want you to be able to do that. The other thing I would say is for the next week, just for the next week, begin your day with a quick prayer before your feet hit the ground. When you wake up, before your feet touch the ground, say a quick prayer. And if you're not sure what to say, I provided a very brief prayer in the notes for today. I'm going to put it up here. Here's what I would encourage you to say in the morning. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the breath in my lungs and this new day ahead of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you today. Guide my steps and use me as you see fit. Open my eyes to see those in need and my hands to help where I'm needed. Amen. A simple prayer. If you don't have the paper version, it's also in the Church Center app and the notes there. Something super simple. We also have 24 hours of prayer coming up, as you heard, and for some of you, that is your next step. You have a pretty rich prayer life, but it's time to take that step and join with us and participate in the 24 hours of prayer. Verse 47, it says, late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. When Jesus came down the mountain, he saw that they were in serious trouble, struggling. So one of the things I noted is that Jesus will send us places. He will send us out to do something, and we will know for certain it's where he wants us to go, and the struggle will be real. We're going to know he wants us to go there, and we're going to struggle. We often think that if Jesus sends us someplace, everything's going to go smoothly. Like his stamp of approval means smooth sailing. Get it? They're on a boat. Smooth sailing. You're welcome. I'll be here all day. But I don't see that in Scripture. It's actually the opposite. It's the opposite. That's when the wind starts blowing and the waves start to rage. For the disciples, they were on the Sea of Galilee, which is generally pretty calm. I have a picture of the Sea of Galilee, pretty calm. I've been there. It is beautiful. I hope you can someday go. Doesn't that look gorgeous on a calm day? Well, but because the Sea of Galilee It lies low in the great rift valley surrounded by hills. It's prone to sudden turbulence. Storms of the kind that Jesus calmed in this passage are a well-known hazard for Galilee fishermen. And so with very little warning, mighty squalls can come up and wind and waves start to blow quickly, completely changing that beautiful, serene picture into one that looks more like this. Can you imagine being in a boat on that and that all of a sudden hits you? And they were out there in the evening. So then it'd be very hard to see where you were going. The disciples were exactly where Jesus told them to go. And now they're in serious trouble, rowing and struggling against wind and waves. Wind and waves represent moments of serious trouble in our lives, the very real struggles that we experience, even when we are exactly where Jesus told us to go. The disciples were in an impossible situation. They were fearful as the wind blew harder and the waves got bigger. Think of the storms you've seen recently, especially here in Southern California. I've been driving and I could barely see in front of me. We've had so much wind and rain that I'm so excited to teach on this because we remember what rain is like all of a sudden this year. And you can't see in front of you, right? Well, combine that, picture that you've experienced recently with being out on the sea, and then you look up and you think there's a ghost coming towards you. No wonder they were terrified. They couldn't tell that it was Jesus walking towards them. The weather and the struggles to see would have prevented them from recognizing him. But Jesus called out to them and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. I am here." Comforting words. The other translation for this is, "Take courage. It is I." Or, "I am." Take courage. I am. I am is how God referred to himself. That's his name. How powerful is that? To realize that they're out in the middle there and they can have comfort from I am. Peter couldn't recognize Jesus in appearance because he couldn't see him. But you know what he did recognize? His voice. Peter recognized Jesus' voice. Jesus was with them when they were in serious trouble, and I am came to rescue them, and he heard him. Imagine that. Peter realizing that it's Jesus walking on the water. Jesus was doing the impossible. That was his reality, walking on top of that water. And Peter wanted to do the impossible too. Now, Peter's known for being impulsive, quite the risk taker. I like to think of him as adventurous. I always say he reminds me of a chutes and ladders game. Every time he goes up a ladder, he slides right back down a chute. It reminds me of my life. Great choices, poor choices. Great choices, poor choices. And he says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water." Who would do that? Would you? Would you look at him and say, "I want to come out and do that too. I want to walk on water too." All right, who here would like to see that happen? Right? I'd like to see it. And Jesus says, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. Peter took a huge step of faith, and the impossible became Peter's reality. The other disciples were in the boat witnessing Peter accomplish this. This is crazy. Can you imagine the adrenaline rush for everybody right then and there? How amazing that was? And I think both scenarios are beneficial for us. We need to take huge walk-on-water steps of faith in our own lives. Other times, we're going to watch someone else take an incredible step of faith, and God can use that to fuel us toward more steps of our own. Quick note, however, if we are only ever watching other people's steps of faith, we're missing out. Sometimes we need to get out of the boat, too. Is there a step of faith Jesus is inviting you to take today? One that seems impossible, but could be your reality? Steps of faith are an opportunity to grow our faith in Jesus, and that often comes with adversity and trials. And it's in those hardships that our faith is tested and tried. If everything is smooth sailing, we may want to question if we're in the right boat. It should not always be smooth sailing. Then what happens? But when he saw the strong wind and waves, that's Peter, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. I've heard multiple teachings on this where the teacher shakes his head and says, "But Peter, he lacks faith. If only he had more faith, he wouldn't have sunk. If only he were stronger." And I think to myself, what? What? Do we forget Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water? That doesn't make any sense to me. If only Peter had more faith. It's like, what a shame. Poor Peter. What about everyone else in the boat? They're still sitting in the boat. There's lots of people on land. Peter, to my knowledge, is the only person other than Jesus to walk on water. This was a huge step of faith. Peter, it became his reality. He did the impossible. When my 10-year-old self was learning to ride that bike, I was wobbly at first, and I fell over a couple times, and there were moments I wasn't sure I could trust the person teaching me, but in the end, I rode the bike. If I hadn't gotten on it, I wouldn't have experienced it. If Peter hadn't gotten out of that boat, he wouldn't have experienced walking on the water. And yes, in the midst of Peter's huge step of faith, the wind and the waves got bigger. They continued to rage on. I imagine it's the enemy's attempts at trying to attack him and destroy him because he didn't want that to happen. Peter got scared. He began to sink. But Peter walked on the water because he got out of the boat. When we're taking huge steps of faith, the wind and waves will probably get bigger. They may cause fear, We may even feel like we're going to drown. But what did Peter do? Peter cried out to Jesus. Peter cried out to Jesus. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He saved him. There is no shame in being saved by Jesus, especially in the midst of a huge faith step. I just don't believe that. There is victory and celebration when Jesus saves us. There's a huge party. It's a victory. His power and full authority were on display for the world to see. Every person saved by Jesus is another win. This was huge, a huge win. Then Jesus says, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Okay, so that's a little confusing, right? Why did he say that? Some might read this as Jesus scolding Peter. Why didn't you have more faith? But in actuality, he wasn't scolding Peter. It was an encouragement towards stronger faith in the future. This is kind of like Jesus saying, "You thought that was crazy. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Don't worry, I've got you. Keep going." This was an extreme demonstration of incredible faith, but even Peter had a long way to go to exercise his full faith potential. We know Peter will take more steps of faith. We also know he's going to have some epic fails between now and Easter. This was one step on his faith journey, and Jesus is saying, "Keep on going, I've got you." I think because of the nature of Peter's future failures, he needed this moment in his life, and God knew that. The next step of faith may seem impossible, but Jesus will be with you. You can make it part of your reality. Take that step. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. At this point, of course, the wind and the waves were still raging, but then they got in the boat and the wind stopped. And Mark says that they were amazed. You think? What just happened here? Jesus is able to calm the impossible storm and make peace your reality. He made peace the reality in that boat. He can do that for you. Whatever your storms are, Jesus can give you peace. And their response to all this was worship. What else could they do? They had just witnessed him multiply bread and fish for thousands of people when they had so few. They just saw Jesus and Peter walk on the water, and then the storm instantly go away. Worship was an appropriate response in that case right there. This is such a powerful story. Don't you love it? I love this story. You know, because like you, I go through struggles in life. I get tired and weary from work and family life. I set out to take some time off and rest, and something inevitably interrupts that. I want to pay attention to do what God is saying I should do and go the direction, and I want to respond with resilience and joy. But sometimes I struggle with the struggles. There are times God sends me out to do something, and it just seems impossible. Now, I don't have a boat, but I do have a bike still. It's not the bike I got when I was 10. It looks like this now. I think you got a picture. There you go. There's my bike. That's a couple years ago, too. That's Keith on the back. He's 23 now, for anyone, almost. But I do still have that bike, and I love it. When I take steps of faith, I try to remember to stay on my bike, keep going. And my bike has two seats. I like to think, like, at this point, Jesus is riding my bike with me, right? There's a spot for him on there. And I'm going to be attacked. And true stories, I have crashed and burned on that bike several times. Once down Garnett, my kid got his foot stuck in the spokes. Ooh, yeah, he was no longer allowed to suck his thumb while we were riding bikes anymore. You're not allowed to fall asleep while you're riding bikes, right? I flew over the handlebars of that bike doing something really dumb. Steps of faith, though, sometimes involve failure. We're going to crash and burn. But when that happens, I do cry out to God, and he shows up every time. I've been praying for revival in our city and ways to reach our middle school and high school students. And you know, whenever I talk about students, I start to cry, so I got tissues in my pocket just in case. Their parents are officially considered the de-churched because they've quit bringing their students to church. And that makes the students officially the unchurched. Isn't that sad? It feels sad to me that they're unchurched. However, there's opportunity. There's opportunity. If we can pair up seeking students with loving adults who are called to share the love of Jesus with them, this is going to be a huge win. And last summer, I felt like God was telling me to prayer walk Pacific Beach. And then it became more refined. I want you to walk around the schools in Pacific Beach. He was sending me on a walk. I was walking and I was praying. Lord, knock down the walls around these schools and open up a way for us to get on these campuses. That's been my prayer for months, months. The wind and waves kicked up. I had internal doubt. What am I doing walking? How's this helping, Lord? And I'd remember the stories in the Bible where the Israelites were told to walk, just walk, because God was going to knock the walls down on his own. He just called them to walk and pray. Then I got the call to get out of the boat. And it wasn't a call, it was an email. Got an email from an acquaintance that I hadn't talked to in years. And he said, hey, would you be interested in helping us relaunch Young Life at Mission Bay High School? Me? Yes. Him. What? I'm like, are you kidding? I just wrapped up a prayer walk around that school a few minutes ago. Of course I'm going to say yes. I have been waiting for this call. This is impossible, and you're making it my reality. I've been waiting and waiting. I was so excited. I immediately sent a prayer request out to our prayer team, and they began praying. A couple of the people on the prayer team said, I want to be part of that. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to join you. We invited parents to pray. I called up Aloha Church, who meets at that school. Do you guys want to be part of it? They said yes, without thinking. Young Life fast-tracked our training. We now have 8 to 12 leaders from 3 different churches committed to being at that school every Thursday for a lunch club. They found students that would immediately be their officers for the club so it could start, and a teacher who said, yes, you can use our room. What? We have more leaders and people praying and serving than they've ever seen before at a Young Life campus launch. Thank you, right? That's God. That's God. And then we had more wind and waves, though. You didn't think it was going to be smooth sailing, right? Training was on days when my calendar was so full, I was exhausted. I was practically in tears as I pulled up to the house. I'm all, I don't have the energy. Lord, sustain us. Literally, the day we launched the club, it was on one of those stormy days where you could barely see in front of you. And our Young Life director is out on maternity leave. So you have a bunch of volunteers showing up to do club without a director. But we're there every week. Every week I walk over to Mission Bay High School so I can pray on the way that God provides the peace I need to be able to love students I don't know, to care for them, and continue praying for them. I know we are supposed to be there because God opened that door. And we walked through it. This past Thursday, we had 100 students show up in a classroom for like 30, right? That is worth celebrating. I'm telling you, revival is coming through our students. And I'm so stoked to be on this side, helping them and loving them and being there. It's such a joy. It's such a joy. What seemed impossible only months ago has become a reality. And you know what? I know a lot of those students might only be there for the free pizza. You know what? I don't care. How many people showed up for free food with Jesus? Come on. They were following him around. Look what he did. He multiplied. I love it. We're there. To God be the glory for this whole thing. God is with us. I cannot emphasize that enough. And when we take even small steps of faith that don't originally seem like they're going to be possible, they don't logically make sense to us, God will move in ways we can't even anticipate. So good. It's in these impossible moments that my faith is challenged. It's stretched and it's strengthened. I need those moments to keep going. My experiences going all the way back to that first bike, they've shaped who I am and my ability to notice God make the impossible a reality in my life. You have those impossible moments too. Jesus is sending you to a place where you can take your next step of faith. Will you take it? As you think of this incredible story and Peter getting to walk on water, what is something that seems impossible to you but could be a reality in your life? Is he sending you someplace new, perhaps someplace risky? Is he inviting you to deepen and prioritize prayer? Is he encouraging you to take a small or a big step of faith and get out of the boat? Is he asking you to trust him to calm the wind and waves that are around you, giving you fear and anxiety? You can trust him with that. Is he going to provide mind-blowing opportunities for you to experience him through those steps of faith? What will you miss out on if you don't take that next step? Better yet, what walk on water moment will you get to experience when you get out of the boat? The good news? Jesus can make the impossible a part of your reality. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you so much for this story. I thank you so much for making the impossible a reality. Lord, even you being on earth is impossible. And yet that was a reality that we can lean into. We can take we took steps of faith to choose to follow you and make you a part of our lives and invite you in to lead us. God, I pray for anyone who's maybe sensing that it's time to take steps of faith in their prayer life. I pray that you would give them the courage to take that. Lord, for anything that we've sensed a nudging from you, God, your Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want you to do. This is your next step. God, I just pray, Father, that we would hear your voice and that we would take that step. Lord, we want to move in a direction that's pleasing to you. And we want to be able to experience you through the faith steps that you call us to take. Thank you for loving us so much and giving us those opportunities. Give us the peace we need when the storms hit. I pray your blessing and mercy and grace over every person here today, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.